Paul Hankins.
And welcome to another edition of On the Air with Power Squared, a behind-the-scenes look at what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. Tonight, we're honored to have our letterer, Trevor Hankins, as a guest. Say hi, Trevor.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
All right, so Trevor's off in a secluded other part of the house so we could do this. So
hopefully no one's seeing double vision.
That's right. Trevor has been the letterer since the very beginning.
Yes.
And he was a co-creator of the story. It's a very important part of the whole process.
That's right.
So when Rachel's done with her work, who we had on 2 weeks ago, and then Julia's done with her work, it comes to Trevor.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And so you're... So have you enjoyed lettering Power Squared?
Certainly a learning experience for me.
Right. You had never lettered a comic book before this, right?
No.
And so what did you use to... And I know we sort of assigned you this responsibility, which you've taken on. And I've always said that I like the idea that it's someone in-house lettering, because sometimes, you know, the dialogue's too long, I trust him to shorten it.
Yeah.
More than to somebody I never heard of or, you know, never met. So it's always good. So how did you learn to letter, I guess, is a question.
I learned from this book.
Okay. And the book's
comic book lettering, the comic craft way.
Okay. And that was, I guess, something we bought at the local comic book store.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. And what, so you, and then you started, obviously you got these digital files and you were having to figure out how to do it. I know the first go round was sort of a test, and then we got some advice from Chip at Comixology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
He gave you some feedback, which was useful. And then,
yes.
Yeah. As I recall, you were, you know, the worst thing was the coloring, then the art, then the story. So,
lettering can't fix everything.
Certainly true. Certainly true. So have you ever like found something like, how did they miss this or something like that? Because you're like the last person to see all the pages. I know we look at them, but I know we've occasionally missed stuff. Have you ever found something that's like, oh my God, how did they miss this?
I think so. I can't think of any specific examples right now.
I'm not gonna put you on the spot. But I know that sometimes we find stuff, you know, way after the fact. Oops. So there's, I guess there's kind of two types of lettering in the comic book. There's some that is sort of that, you know, sound effect stuff, and then there's the dialogue, and you just do the dialogue, right?
Well, now I pretty much just do the dialogue.
Okay.
Early on, I also did the sound effects.
Okay, then I guess Rachel's.
But now I don't have to worry about doing that.
That's fine. That's good. It's a little easier for you. I think Rachel wants to draw that stuff in.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? Sorry.
What?
Reading the chat room while we're talking. So what software do you use now to... Is it the same software you used from the beginning?
Yeah. I know some people use Photoshop, but I use Adobe Illustrator because that's what the book says, shows how to do.
Right, how to use. Okay, so you've been using that the whole time. Okay.
Yes.
So do you want to, do you have a demonstration you could provide us of how you letter?
Yes, I have some pages I haven't lettered yet, so I could just use one of those.
Oh, okay. So what issue are you lettering now?
14.
Okay.
This is page 13.
Okay. I recognize this. Sometimes I it's sort of like, oh yeah, that's our stuff. So this is issue 14.
Yes.
Okay. And you can see that some of the sound effects, was it smack, has been drawn in already.
Yes.
Okay. So
what?
Walk us through doing one.
All right. Well, first I already did this beforehand. I saved it as an Illustrator file.
Okay.
So then I can export it more. I can more easily export it as a TIFF.
Okay.
So what I typically do is I add two more layers. One is for the lettering, and the other is for like the shape of the balloon.
Okay.
If it's like a telepathic thing, I would add like a third layer to act as like show like the. Because those are color coordinated, so the third layer would be to fill in like the color.
Right, and just so everybody, you're the one that came up with, I mean, for our comic book, that telepathy thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Yes.
It's color coordinated to the characters, so that's pretty cool.
Yes. So, because I only have one screen to work with, I had to Alt-Tab between Illustrator and the Word document. That's the script.
Okay.
So I guess now everyone knows what the script looks like.
Well, we can't see that, but we have shown the script on other streams, yes. So
yeah,
we're good there.
Right.
It's copyrighted, so... We will sue.
I didn't know how much was visible.
Yeah, we can't see it. So,
is,
should we set up what this? I mean, this page is Quincy introducing Marty to Dr. Atlas.
Yeah,
just a setup.
Yes.
Okay.
The first panel is a silent panel, so I don't have to do anything there. So what I do first is, see, for panel two, there's like four lines of dialogue.
Okay.
So what I do is I, I use classic comic font because, it looks more like a comic book.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Why they call it classic?
I had to look for that template through Adobe Typekit.
Okay.
So then I, what I do is I insert all the dialogue that's in one panel.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's doing that, we'll do an on-air shout-out to Iron Fortitude Gaming for watching.
Yes. Always appreciate the views. Tell your friends.
So then what I do is I figure out how to adjust the lettering to make everything like rounded within the dialogue.
Right.
Space.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I'm not saying very much. Sometimes, depending on the how much text there is, it takes a few attempts.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if it's like long enough, I just make it multiple things.
Right. We're actually, you know, the dialogue's getting shorter as we go.
And we've consciously gotten better than that, better with that after reading that Alan Moore thing.
Yes. How many? Yeah, this would be a good time to mention that.
Yeah.
So there's, was it, how many, so many words per panel and so many words per balloon, or letters per balloon.
Yeah, like 25 per balloon and 35 per panel.
Right.
Then I kind of figure out a general idea of how to place where the I want the text to be before I, like, put in any of the balloons.
Mm-hmm.
Then as for the balloons themselves, want the ellipse tool. Then I reverse that, make the insides white.
Uh-huh.
Because the book says to do this, I make the outline of the balloon 1.5 stroke.
Okay.
You guys think that's the thickness?
Yes. Also make sure that there's enough space for the text, and at the same time, like, not too much empty space.
Right,
right.
I remember that was something I think Chip mentioned. It was kind of that.
Yeah. So thank you. Trevor then relettered the...
Yes, he did. The first issue.
Yeah.
Or the first two.
Yeah, and it got better.
And then we got to color some of what they were doing.
That was pain. That was a little painstaking.
Yeah, that was the first two issues were the most expensive ones. Everything had to be done.
I have those first three lines in, like, that empty space up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough room for that fourth one, so I'd have to, like, put it down here.
Right.
Whenever I have to do that, I also, I make sure that it doesn't, like, cover up too much of the art, and at the same time, there aren't any, like, tangents caused right. by the speech balloons.
Okay.
Yeah, tangents are maddening.
You want to explain to people what a tangent is, just in case?
When a line... it's like when a line overlaps another line, but it's...
It's when two lines, overlap in an uncomfortable way.
Okay, like crossing the stream, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's like a tangent, like, flattens an image rather than showing depth.
Okay.
Can be a little uncomfortable to look at.
Right.
Okay, so... So these two right here are Quincy.
Right.
Okay, first, this one right here is
in the
Quincy
middle.
House. Yeah, in the middle. That's Dr. Atlas's balloon.
Uh-huh.
Gotta make sure I'm on the right layer first. what I do is I use the pen tool to make uh was it, a tail?
Yeah, I think so.
I make a tail that points in his general direction. Then when I think it looks good enough, I unite them together, so now it's one balloon. You can freely combine them, but you can't freely like uncombine them without having to make an entirely new balloon.
Okay.
While I'm at it, I'll point this one at Dr. Atlas. From my understanding, I think like some people have like a set of tails and just like recycle those, but I make a new one every time.
Okay.
Don't at me on that. Okay, so these other two, those two are Quincy's dialogue.
Right.
Sometimes what I do is I start making a tail and then use that to combine two speech balloons together. I don't know how this extra thing happens. Then in order to combine them, you have to make sure that the one you created, you have to like click away from what you created so you can actually like select it.
Okay.
I combine those.
Wow.
And then I make another one pointing in Quincy's general direction. And of course, you save often.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Save early, save often. Every step of the way.
So, how long does it take you to do a page?
It depends on how wordy it is.
Right.
Like if there's if there's like next to no dialogue, I can get through it like very quickly.
Okay. I think with 15, there's a lot less dialogue.
Yeah.
Do you need me to keep going?
If you want to. I mean, I think you gave everybody kind of an idea of what it is to. And this is great for the audio portion, of course, of the show.
Sometimes when panel is like it's not a good example right here. Sometimes when a panel is like a black background.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can find something like that. Waiting for stuff to load.
So I ask everybody, do you have a favorite issue of Power Squared? It doesn't have to have been released yet. And you can say you don't have a favorite one, so.
I'm not sure if I have a favorite one because, I'm looking at the story like in like chunks.
Yeah.
I forgot which issue it was. I remember there was one where there was one that had like a lot of pages where there was like minimal dialogue, so I was able to get through those like really fast. Yeah, I think I have an example.
Okay.
Of what I was about to say. This is from issue 12.
Going back so, and ahead.
So, minor spoilers here. This is like a black background. So what I did there was I created the speech balloon first and then did the text around that.
Right.
That makes any sense.
Yeah.
Or like if there's a or sometimes if there's a page where it's like really dark but there's some like light in there, I use the lighter part of the artwork to help construct the dialogue.
Okay. Makes sense?
Yeah.
I know that Julia tries to leave the backgrounds, you know, if there's a lot of dialogue kind of plain, so.
Yeah.
You're not covering up anything too involved. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about lettering? Or share?
Kind of put me on the spot there.
I'm just trying to get a last chance to say something, I guess.
Right. I can't think of anything right now.
Okay, I wasn't trying to put you on
the spot. Oh. If there's like a, I know from this experience, sometimes the art differs from what's actually written.
Yes.
So I have to make sure that everything is coordinated properly so that you can, you have to try to make, sorry. Yeah, to make sure everything is coordinated so that you can, like, properly letter everything without having it look awkward.
Right. Yeah. I know we haven't done a good job sometimes of, because we'll send the script to Rachel and then she'll move a panel or two or eliminate something. And I know we haven't necessarily done a great job of informing you of that, so you fly a little blind there. All right.
Probably, but I probably butchered that a little. I think you know what I was trying to say.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I think we all know.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anything else you want to say?
I guess one question would be if there's any specific comics that have an influence on how you letter.
Well, generally, not anything in particular. Sometimes when I'm reading a comic, I see, I see a lettering technique someone has done, and, I'm very bad at this.
That's right.
Sometimes I just, like, find an interesting lettering technique that someone has done. Sometimes I end up incorporating that if I think it'll work for a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I've seen it where, I forget exactly where, I've seen it where it's, like, the the tail light goes behind a character. Or like, I haven't utilized. I've also seen it where a dialogue like overlaps another dialogue as though like they're interrupting someone. Also this sorry. I've also seen when I was reading My Hero Academia, I saw this really interesting bit of dialogue where it was like, one character was like saying something and then their thought, like the tail went off the panel, like at the bottom of a page and then like continued at the top of the next page. So it was like continuing what they're saying.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Now, I was going to ask you, since you mentioned My Hero Academia, I know you read a lot of manga, and I was just wondering, is the speech bubbles different in that than in American comics, or is it kind of the same idea?
I think some general ideas with lettering are more universal. However, in manga, because with Japanese writing, it's like often written vertically.
Right.
So the dialogue balloon is often like elongated to compensate for that, which makes it kind of hell for the translators.
So they don't redo the balloons, they just redo the what's in it.
Yeah, which can lead to a lot of empty space if it's especially tall.
I've also seen this more in manga where like the outline of the balloon like is changed to reflect a character's like emotional state. So like if a character is like yelling, it looks like the balloon is sort of like a hand drawn type thing. Okay. You know what I'm...
Yeah, I think yeah. So. All right.
Well, so, like, in that case, the speech balloon is kind of an extension of the character's emotion.
Yes.
Very well put.
And I know in some manga I've seen it where if it's off-screen dialogue, then the head of the character that's speaking is inside that.
Oh, I see. So, like, you just inside the balloon is their head?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a chibi version of that, so you know who's talking.
It's kind of interesting. We're not doing that. All right. Well.
Well, that's usually more often seen in like more comedic manga, like My Hero Academia, where it's more lighthearted.
Right. Okay. Well, I think. We're going to end the show.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Trevor, for coming on and talking about lettering. It's a very important part of the whole process, especially for a wordy comic like Power Square. So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And we've had Trevor Hankins as a special guest on the air with Power Square. See you next week.
Bye.